Eternal God, you have called us to be members of one body. Join us in one spirit with those who in all times and places have praised your name, that having one faith, we may show the unity of your church and bring honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me as we share our invocation. O Lord, open thou our mouths.
And our words may show forth thy praise.
O Lord, open thou our minds.
That our thoughts may be formed by thy word.
O Lord, open thou our hearts.
That we may receive the fullness of thy grace.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin together. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you called us to be a servant people, but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and useless when we should be useful. We are lazy servants, timid and heartless, who turn neighbors away from your love. Have mercy on us, O God, and forgive us as free us from sin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are assured that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Let us pray. Give us, O God, the grace to listen. May we hear beyond the many loud words which are spoken, thy still small voice. May its whisperings become for us the thunder of thy presence. Amen. The Old Testament lesson this morning is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my tongue with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me.
Listen to the word of God in Revelation 4, 8 through 11. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to sing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, Worthy art thou, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and by thy will they existed and were created.
Why do we come here? I hear all sorts of questions raised about going to chapel. Some say that we only come to chapel to hear a lecture, and they're not really interested because they hear enough of those. I agree that that's not really a reason to come. We hear many lectures and classes and some good sermons too. Some say that we come here for fellowship. Well, that may be a part of it, but we don't really need to come to chapel just for that. In fact, we can find good fellowship in the coffee shop, and many do at 10 o'clock. Some say we come here to feel good. Well, that's really quite an inadequate answer as far as I'm concerned. There are a number of other things that we can do to feel good, and I won't even start to make a list about those. Then why do we come here? Well, just maybe we come here to hear a word from God. That may be less a reason in some of our minds, possibly at seminary, than in a normal service of worship. Because after all, we do hear words from God spoken in the classroom. In fact, I've heard some sermons so profound that if an invitation had been given, I think half the class would have been down front. We've also heard prophetic words, though, in this place as well. And to listen to God's word, it seems to me, is one of the reasons that we come here. But possibly even more a part of our reason is the opportunity to respond together as a community to what God has done for us, to sing praises, to offer thanksgiving, to confess our sins, to affirm our faith, to bring our petitions to God. We have here, in this place, a unique opportunity to respond to God and experience in a unique sort of way a community of fellowship in doing so. But our reasons for coming here should go deeper, it seems, even than this. We should come here to sense the mystery of God's presence. At seminary, it's easy to get caught up in the business of trying to find all the answers, to know everything there is to know about God, to know exactly who He is and how He acts. But God cannot be contained by our theories. Neither can He be shut up and carried around in the pages of a book. Moses learned that. In the passage that John Durham dealt with at graduation last May, Moses wanted to know everything about God. He asked God to show him His face so he could know God exactly, just the way He was. God told him he couldn't do that, but He would show him just a little bit, His backside. And after Moses saw that little bit, what was his response? Did he say, "Aha, I know this much, and from this I can deduce all the rest about what God is like just exactly"? Or did he say, "Now I'm going to write this down precisely, and by this everyone will know exactly all they need to know about God"? No, what was Moses' response? The scripture records it this way: "And Moses made haste to bow his head and worshiped." We come here to sense the presence of God in mystery. And without the mystery of that transcendence, the Bible becomes simply literature, church history, institutional history, theology simply a type of philosophy, ethics, humanism, M-area courses, various types of methodologies. Here, though, we gain the depths of the mystery of God's presence. Yet there's another reason. That was the need of the young Isaiah as he mourned the loss of the king. And in worship, he found that need fulfilled, that need to experience the fullness of God's grace. We have many Isaiahs here, not mourning the loss of a king, of course, but with other needs that weigh just as heavily, personal or family difficulties, financial problems, heavy workload, sickness, bereavement, the difficulties of integrating past theology with present knowledge. At times, we question whether it's worth it, whether we should leave it all. John Claypool said that in the process of losing his little daughter to leukemia, he felt at times that he could not continue, but somehow he found the strength to go on. And that strength was the gift of God's grace. We come here, too, to experience that grace. But you know, I often hear the response, "I don't have time. I really would like to come to chapel, but seminary keeps me too busy. I just don't have time." Michael Quast has responded to that in one of his prayers. After reflecting a great deal upon the lack of time, he says, "Lord, you must have made a mistake in your calculations. There's a big mistake somewhere. The hours are too short. The days are too short. Our lives are too short. You who are beyond time, Lord, you smile to see us fighting it. And you know what you're doing. You make no mistakes in your distribution of time to us. You give each one time to do what you want us to do. But we must not lose time, waste time, kill time. For time is a gift that you give us, but a perishable gift, a gift that does not keep. Lord, I have time. I have plenty of time. All the time that you give me, the years of my life, the days of my years, the hours of my days, they're all mine, mine to fill quietly, calmly, but to fill completely, up to the brim, to offer them to you, that of that insipid water you may make a rich wine such as you made once in Cana of Galilee. I'm not asking you today, Lord, for time to do this and then to do that, but your grace to do conscientiously in the time that you give me what you want me to do." Why do we come here? We come here to encounter God and together as a community to joyfully respond to Him. We come to sense the mystery of His presence. We come to sense the fullness of His grace. Do we really have time for this? We can't afford not to have the time.
Let us stand and confess our faith together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell.
The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven,
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
I want us now to take a time of prayer, a different kind of prayer. I want your involvement as well this morning. After we have had a chance to consider the concerns of our community, I will open with a brief prayer, to which I will end with "Through Jesus Christ our Lord," and you as a congregation will respond as the people did, "Amen." I will then announce several petition topics for us to pray for silently. After we have had a few moments of silent prayer, I will voice a prayer for us, again ending it with "Through Jesus Christ our Lord," to which you will respond, "Amen." And then finally, a summation prayer offering all of our petitions, again with your response, "Amen." Do you have any particular needs that you would like to voice at this time of the community? I know personally of one. We have one member of our class, Judy Hunbarrier, who just lost her brother to cancer. He was 24. Any others? Let us pray then. Father, whose Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray, let our prayers for others be the kind you want, and not just ways of getting what we want, who already have so much in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world and its needs. Lord of all worlds that are, Savior of men, we pray for the whole creation. Order the unruly powers. Deal with injustice. Feed and satisfy the longing peoples, so that in freedom your children may enjoy the world you have made and cheerfully sing your praises, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray now for our work here as the semester closes. Manage us, wise God, by your Spirit. Open our minds to your truth. Increase our diligence. Enable us to make right use of the time that you give us, so that the work we do may serve your purpose and increase your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray now for those who are sick or who sorrow in bereavement. Merciful God of comfort, who bears the hurt of the world and stands with those who sorrow, be now especially with those who have need of thee. Especially we pray at this time for Judy and her family. Cheer them by your word. Assure them that they may know that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, shall separate them from your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for friends and families. O God, our Father, bless us and those we love, our friends and families, and all the special needs that we have at this time. Strengthen us, draw us closer to you, that in so being drawn closer to you, we may be drawn closer to each other, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mighty God, whose word we trust, whose spirit prays in our prayers, sort out our requests and further those which are helpful and will bring about your purpose for the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.